Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Oliver Bixby, and this is the People Talk Podcast for Thursday, February 21st, 2019. What's going on? How are you? I hope you are doing fine. I'm doing well, but I don't know if my body is. I swear I have had to pee about 12 times today. I get up, I'm not doing anything out of the ordinary, and I must have peed about 7 times in the space of about 4 hours. Does that mean anything is wrong with me? Am I dying? I'm not doing anything like weird or out of the ordinary. So I think I have maybe slowly got myself back to normal here. On this cloudy Wednesday. Wednesday night here. I'm actually back on my phone recording this. Not because my computer is messed up still from last week. I actually figured that issue out. But I just had so much fun last week, just doing it on the phone and being able to walk around and freestyle and not have to be staring at a screen while I'm doing this. Like I can do this podcast wherever I want to. It took me over a year. It took me about a year and a half to figure that out. That's crazy. That's nuts. So I don't know if this will be my preferred way of doing it, because I feel like I might be, the audio is probably not as good, I want to say, maybe on this. Sorry, I'm talking annoying, like an NPR style podcast. I'm going up at the end of all my sentences. Like, I know the answer, but I'm speaking in this very condescending way, which is like, I know the answer, but did you know that I knew the answer and you didn't? Nothing much new this week. What a shocker. One thing I have been getting into is this awesome show. There's an awesome show on Netflix, Russian Doll. And what this show is it's kind of like a Groundhog Day type of a concept. So this woman kind of relives the same night over and over and over. So the actress that plays the main role is Natasha Lyonne, who you would probably recognize last from American Pie way back in the day. She's kind of like, I haven't watched American Pie since I was like in high school, so I can't really remember what she did in that movie. I mean, she was one of the kids, obviously, but like she was probably, I imagine she was the cool one. You know, she's like the aloof, like doesn't give a shit type of a kid. Like she didn't want to go to the parties and so, okay, I don't know. I'm just making it up. But you know who I'm talking about most likely. She kind of like disappeared off the face of the TV and movie planet for a long time. But now she came back with this show. And what's kind of crazy is this show was co-created by Amy Poehler from your SNL, from your Parks and Rec. So they're not two people I ever would have connected before in my mind, but they kind of put this show together. And like a lot of Netflix series, it's just a limited thing. It's like 8 episodes, half hour each. So it's easily consumable. For some reason, I really hate that. I hate when people refer to like TV or movies or podcasts as consumable. Even though that's what's going on with it, you're consuming it, I guess, with your ears. But consuming is for like food and stuff. But it's easily watchable. So like I said, it was very Groundhog Day-esque in terms of she wakes up I don't know how you would say it. She keeps like finding herself at this party. It's her birthday party. In this apartment, and there's a bunch of people there because it's a party, and she's in the bathroom. That's where she like starts off every time, right? And then she like goes out and kind of tries to figure it out from there, but she keeps dying. And it's obviously, as you can see, it's like some dark humor. And she goes through a bunch of iterations, dying and like coming back to the same starting point again. She's trying to like figure out what she needs to do. It's like a video game in a way, I guess. And but eventually she runs into, I've got like two episodes left, so I don't have the full thing. And I'm not giving anything a special way. I'm just kind of laying it out in case you want to check it out. But eventually she does run into this guy. There's another guy who's having the same issue. He's stuck in the same warp. He keeps reliving the same night himself, and he dies every time too. And they both start in their respective starting points, and then they have to figure out what's going on. So there's the obvious Groundhog Day comparison. But I only say that because I have nothing else to compare it to. It's just one of those, what would you call that, where it's just the same thing over and over? Is that like a style of movie? Like, if you see any of those movies where people do like body switching, you always seem to refer to it as a Freaky Friday type of a movie, right? So that's what this is. I guess that's like a genre, would be a Groundhog Day thing. But that's not like to diminish this at all, because I feel like when you say something like that, it just kind of by implication is like, oh, that's just kind of a ripoff of Groundhog Day or whatever. But it's not. I mean, it's totally its own thing and puts a whole new spin on it with the two people aspect of it. So, but that's very good, and it's got an awesome soundtrack. It's a lot of like 60s, 70s type songs with some new stuff mixed in there. And the whole series is kind of shot like, I mean, this is easily like a movie. It's crazy. Like so many of these Netflix series to me are just kind of like overextended movies. Like if it had come out 25 years ago, like it would be something you would go see in a theater. Because it's shot like that, except broken up into like half-hour pieces, right? But that's crazy to me that like how things have changed. You don't see stuff like this in theaters anymore. It's like you just go to theaters to see superhero movies and stuff like that, just like big blockbusters. And then you have to see this stuff on like a streaming service. But then there is kind of the advantage of, instead of it just being like a 90-minute movie, now it's like, you know, 4 hours or whatever for the whole series. I don't know if they're doing more because I haven't seen the end of it yet, but I could see there being like another season of this or whatever. Other day I was listening to a podcast, Bill Burr's podcast, which is kind of my favorite podcast. I've been listening to it for many years. That was like my first real podcast that I got into. And Bill doesn't usually have guests, but he had Jason Reitman on, who is, I did research all this, so I don't really know this off the top of my head per se, but I researched it. He's the son of Ivan Reitman, who was the dude who directed the original Ghostbusters movie back in the 80s. So him, the son, Jason, he is directing another reboot of it, apparently. They're making another Ghostbusters movie. that has to do with the original cast, even though one of them is dead at this point, but they're going to use like the old guys. So I'm assuming like Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson. And then I don't know if some of the other people who were in the old movies or whatever. But anyway, so he's on the, so this dude was on Bill Burr's podcast and he was talking about the Ghostbusters reboot he's working on. And he made some comment about, you know, this movie is going to be like a love letter to the original Ghostbuster movies. And he said something about this, we're going to hand it back to the fans or something. And I didn't think anything of it because I listened to Bill Burr's podcast anyway. And it's just kind of like, you know, there's not a big filter to what Bill says usually on that podcast. So I didn't think anything of it because it just was like in the natural flow of that podcast. And then today, a lot of people were kind of going in on it because people were saying, looking at that comment about we're handing it back to the fans, like, well, what does that mean? Because there was the female Ghostbusters version that came out a couple of years back. So a lot of people were saying, you know, so you basically you're underhandedly saying that that version sucked, or what you're trying to say is the female version Ghostbusters sucked and you want to make it the guy version again, kind of a thing. And I don't know, like it just made me, think like I can definitely see both ways. I don't know that I saw it that way. I mean, I didn't take it that way. I've seen all the Ghostbusters. I saw the one from a couple of years ago. It was a good movie. I liked it. 'Cause it seemed like it was very polarizing. Like you either loved it or you hated it. I had no problem with any of these versions. Okay. Obviously, like I grew up on Ghostbusters. That was kind of like my thing when I was a kid. So I love those. And when I heard that they were making the female Ghostbusters version, I was all about it just because at least there was a Ghostbusters movie being made. Obviously, I would have loved at least like Bill Murray to be in it just because I like Bill Murray. And he did end up being in that movie, but in a different role. Like he made a cameo, but he wasn't a Ghostbuster. He was like just some little side character as like a goof. So I don't know. Maybe I spend too much time on Twitter and that's what it is. It's just people taking sides kind of a thing. I could live with both. I think it would be great if, I mean, I don't know how like well they're keeping it under wraps and stuff like that, but what if they do this Ghostbusters has like all the characters in it, like the old guy characters and the female characters, like doesn't have to be one or the other only, right? I don't know. I just find that interesting just because stuff from my childhood, right? And I don't know. That's weird. I feel like I'm finally at the age where everything I can, you know, is going to be, anything retro is just going to be like from when I was a kid now. And that feels kind of like annoying in a way because like I don't want to rehash like every little thing that happened in the 90s. And then it'll be really weird when retro is like stuff that came after me, like stuff in the 2000s. Like when you start getting like nostalgic for stuff when I was already an adult, man, I feel like I'll feel really out of touch. Speaking of out of touch, I don't know. I always have like such a hard time finding good pants, like pants that fit well and pants that like consistently feel well. You know what I'm talking about? Like a lot of times you buy a pair of pants and you think it's like amazing. You're like, this is an amazing pair of pants. I'm going to wear these forever. And you wear them and you really like them for a few months. And then I don't know if it's like when you first wash them or your body just breaks them in a weird way, but it just like morphs the pants or something. Would that be the correct way to say it? To where they just don't fit like you thought they did. Or maybe it was always that way and you just like thought they were cool to begin with and then it just kind of wore off in your mind or something. I don't know. This is all to say, I decided I just want to be comfortable. Like I feel like I'm at the point, if I'm not working, like if I'm not like doing something business-wise, going to a meeting, something professional, then I want to get like joggers, like really comfortable, but also stylish looking jogger pants. And then just wear some like comfy Adidas or Nike stuff, like shirts or hoodies or whatever. And I could see that just being kind of like my comfortable thing, like for non-business attire, for all non-business attire. So I'm wondering if that's kind of like the guy version of yoga pants. Is that just like the guy version of just wearing like just black yoga pants and like a simple top of some sort? I feel like it is. But it just feels like that would be so, I don't know what the word is, just that would just be so attractive to me to be able to feel comfortable like that all the time. But it's got to be the right ones. Like, I don't want to just get some, like, just some, you know, baggy, not going to fit real well, just kind of look like sweatpants, like I'm not even trying kind of a thing. Like, they have to, like, there has to be, like, an effort to it. And it has to look like I might be on my way to the gym or maybe I just got done with the gym kind of a thing. You know what I'm saying? Still give the illusion of being a very active person. Yeah, big news. Today, my favorite rapper, Freddie Gibbs, dropped a new song from Bandana. Apparently, this is a song coming off the upcoming album, Bandana, which we've all been waiting on for months. His collaboration, his second album collaboration with Madlib. So that's definitely dropping this year, and it seems like sooner rather than later. It was weird because I just got home yesterday and went on Instagram, and he had started a live video for some reason. So I checked in on that, and he was talking about, like, it was very random. Like, it was very random that he would do a live video because he doesn't really do it that often. And he was kind of dropping hints about the single. And then just out of nowhere today, he dropped a song and they also released a vinyl single with a second song with the song Bandana. So there's a song called Bandana 2, which is on the other side of the single. And then in true Madlib fashion, there's like extra tracks, and then he puts like just the beats on there too. So just the instrumental versions, which is awesome. So that's crazy. That's crazy that's actually happening. That's happening this year. That's easily my most anticipated album this year. So he dropped an album I guess you could say, a self-titled album called Freddy back in February last year, and then dropped a collaboration album with Currency, Fetty, in October. That was on Halloween. And now this one looks like it'll be within the next few months. So that's crazy. I mean, just the output. Like, I'm so in awe of that output, and it's all good. I mean, not every song is like instant classic per se, but all the albums are great. Like, you know, they're A grade albums. You've always got that one track or two on an album, right? But just to be able to have that consistency. So I don't know what the plan would be after this, because their last album together was back in February of 2014, Piñata. And then I think it was 2016, they had already like hinted at this one. So like this one has been in the works for going on 3 years plus. And has been built up and just kind of hyped throughout the past few years so much that after this one drops, and then obviously they go on tour and stuff like that, but man, I can't imagine, you know, what after the two albums he just dropped in the last year, and then after dropping this super anticipated album, right? Like, what would be next? Probably a break, I would imagine. Like a good amount of a break. And then I, you know, if I were them, just from a certain standpoint, I could see them not collaborating again for a number of years. Just because you don't want to, like, I don't know, and maybe they would, maybe they don't care, and it's just like, let's just keep the train going, right? Just Avengers that thing. But I could definitely see them cooling it off, and Freddie seems to have no problem, you know, dropping other stuff in between, because he's dropped, that was in 2014 they dropped that, and he's dropped four albums since then. He's dropped four albums and at least one EP and a number of singles, like at least three other random singles, probably more. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. All right. And one thing I want to do, since we've got the Oscars coming up this Sunday, just for fun, I want to see how good I can get at predicting the Oscars. The Oscars are notorious, as far as I'm concerned, for giving awards to, like, there's no rhyme or reason who wins, unless it's a certain category where it's just a clear-cut winner, just a very clear-cut winner. So I'm just going to go through the list and make my little predictions and see how good I do. I'm just going to go on the record, and I'm just Googling Oscar nominee list, getting the categories, and we're just going to go from there. All right, best short documentary. Obviously, I have seen zero of these, but I have heard of one of these, so I'm going to go with that one. Period, end of sentence, wins best short documentary. Next category, best makeup. Ooh. Well, it looks like there's three nominees for the movie Mary, Queen of Scots. So I'm gonna guess the makeup team from the movie Mary, Queen of Scots. That's my prediction there. Live action short film. Again, seen zero of these. I feel like I have no idea where I would even go about seeing any of these. I think I've heard of Mother. I might also be mistaking that for something else, but we'll go with Mother since I think I've heard of that. Best sound editing. Ooh. Best sound editing. Now there's a couple or a couple movies you would think, because they were kind of music related, Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star Is Born. Oh, A Star Is Born is not nominated here. Best sound editing. A Quiet Place is nominated for that. What if they go the other way and like, ooh, you did very good at silence. But I'm gonna go with First Man because I'm a sucker for the space movies. So I'm gonna guess that they'll give it to the space movie for, ooh, that you did rocket sound effects really well. Best production design. To me, that's a toss-up. That's a toss-up here between The Favorite and Mary Poppins Returns. Probably The Favorite. Best film editing. Have seen zero of these movies, but I feel like I could probably pick that out if I had seen these movies. I bet I could pick out really good editing. I feel like I could do that. I've seen a clip of Bohemian Rhapsody on Twitter, and specifically a post saying that like it was trash as far as the editing of it, because they keep, it was like a minute long scene and they just cut every like 2 seconds. So I know that that one shouldn't win, but I also think it'd be hilarious if it did win. So we're just going to have to guess, and I'm going to say Black Klansman on that one. Best costume design. Okay. You know that's going to go to a period piece, if possible, so I'll give that one to Mary, Queen of Scots. Faux show. Best animated short film. Haven't heard of any of these. So, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. We'll go with Animal Behavior on that one. Best visual effects. That's interesting. You got First Man. Again, that's another one I'm a sucker for on a space movie because that needs a lot of visual effects. We'll go with Ready Player One on that one, though. Didn't see it, but it looked like one of those ones that probably had a lot of good visual effects. Best cinematography. This one, Roma. That's one you definitely want to see win. That is Roma. All right, here we go. Here's kind of like the more, I think we're in the upper echelon here. Best adapted screenplay. Star Is Born. Got to go with that on that one. Best original screenplay. Green Book. Foreign language film. Roma. Best documentary. Free Solo is up for that. Wow, that's crazy. But I'll go with RBG. I bet they go with RBG on that one for political reasons. Best director. Here we go. I think this is Spike Lee's first nomination, if I'm not mistaken. Best director. But I got to go with Alfonso Cuarón, Mr. Roma himself. Best animated feature. Ooh, Isle of Dogs. I'm gonna hope for Isle of Dogs there. And then here's the big ones: Best Supporting Actress, Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk. I really want to see this movie. I hear nothing but good things. Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk. Best Supporting Actor. How are they doing the Oscars this year? Because they're not having a host. So, I mean, that's crazy because there's so much production that just goes into the Oscars. Like, don't they give awards for award shows at this point? So, like, who's rehearsing? I don't know. Best Supporting Actor. Now, this one you hear a lot about, Sam Elliott. I'm going to go with Mahershala Ali for Green Book. Best actress, you got the Gaga. The Lady Gaga is up for that. Melissa McCarthy is up for that. Wow, that's crazy. I'm going to go Glenn Close on that one. I'm going to go with that dark horse candidate. Best actor. Here we go. A lot of people up here for this one. What if we go with Willem Dafoe? Willem Dafoe. Going wild card on that one. I'm going to say it's Willem Dafoe's year. Best original music score. Ooh. That one, I think that one, I'm going to go with... Oh, that's the score. I was going to say Black Panther, but score is not soundtrack. If it was soundtrack, it would definitely be Black Panther. But we're talking score here. That one I would go with If Beale Street Could Talk, because I've heard some of that music. And it's very good classical music on that one. And best sound mixing, really. Okay, yeah, there's one I would go with First Man on. You know, man, you made that. You made all those space sounds sound real good. Best original song. So maybe that would be A Star Is Born, one of those. I would love to see Kendrick win an Oscar. And him and SZA for All the Stars. Great song, but... I think we all know that's going to A Star Is Born. Best Picture. Oh, this is the last one. Yeah, this is the... Yeah, and for the coup de grace, Best Picture. I'm going Roma. But I bet it goes to either The Favorite or A Star Is Born. Yeah, that's my predictions. And those are all my Oscar predictions. I should have written them down. Well, I did write them down in sound form. And we'll see how good I do. All right. Because I know you're tuning in just to see what I think about the Oscars. So if I do better than 50%, I should probably start betting on this kind of stuff. Just off principle. So that's it. That's it for podcast here. I'm going to go figure out how to put this into the podcast format. And hopefully it sounds all right. So we'll catch you guys next week. See you then. Bye.